Welcome aboard, everybody. I made it. We're here. Friday, January 10th, 2025. Going into the Sabbath, the Shabbat, Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown. And we're going to kick it off in God's Word today. We're going to be in a new book. We just finished Mark yesterday. We're going to be in the book of Luke today. Welcome, January 10th, 2025. Let's pray. Father Jehovah, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We plead the blood of Jesus over this program, over everyone that will be tuning in, over our families. Put a hedge of protection, wall fire from Zachariah 2 and 5 around us, around President Trump, Elon, RFK, all the people that are going to be joining the cabinet. I ask God you'd loose the spirit of adoption into each of them. Save them, God, at all costs. If they need a Road to Damascus experience, or anyone tuning in, let it be done, God. Knock them off their high horse. Save them. Even with the smell of smoke on them. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless them all. Bless all those who will tune in today. We consecrate this program and this Sabbath to you, this Shabbat. Forgive us of all of our sins, known and unknown, back to the very first thought, word, deed, gesture, and action. I thank you, God, that you've enabled us to get this far. Bless us all. Holy Spirit of God, Ruach HaKodesh. We ask that you would teach us the word, unlock it for us. Reveal your deep mysteries to us, Lord Jesus, according to your word. Give us understanding of what we're going to read. Wisdom and knowledge. Discernment. Embolden us. We ask that you would renew our minds through the hearing of your word and increase our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're expecting more faith and renewal of our minds today and each and every time we read your word, God. Help us to take the land back. Let this be the year that we recover all. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray, Father God. We love you. Amen. Luke chapter 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou might know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Friends, that's what we want to be, just like them, righteous. How? By doing the same thing, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. In Hebrew it would be Yochanan. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. People say, did you have the Holy Ghost prior to Jesus coming? What's it saying right here? Yes, the Holy Ghost was in operation. It says he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost later on down the road. No, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. They shall go before them in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. You know, when God speaks something, it's going to be fulfilled in his season that he specifies, not in ours. We might say, Lord, give it to me now. May not be his will now. But if he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. I have some promises of the Lord as well. I'm wanting them now, but it'll be in his due season. They'll be fulfilled. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he had duties here in the temple, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. She said, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. You were frowned upon if you did not have children, and you were found to be barren. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail. Well, I guess you could say hello. Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name in the English, Jesus. In the Hebrew, Yeshua. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? So she was engaged to be married to Joseph. They were not dating and having Netflix dates or Tinder app hookups. It was either arranged marriage or they had desired each other and there was some type of chaperone going on. But they weren't going out on dates. You didn't do that. You're not married. You didn't do that. So she hasn't married him yet. Hasn't had relations. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. I'm believing that for my family, that at the right time I can take them back to America, whether God allows me to do it permanently or visit. He's going to have to remove the blockade that the enemy has put up that would require her to get a number of those things in the arm. I'm not allowing her to get one, let alone the big one that was pushed on the world. That's still law right now. If you want to get a visa and you want to come in legally. Speaking to my mother the other day about that. She said, I wish you were here. And I said, well, love to be with you, but you know the situation. And then she reminded me, you know, with God, all things are possible. And I say, amen to that. Welcome aboard. We've got one listener. God bless you. It's you, me, and the Holy Ghost. Okay, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah. Into a city of Judah. Judea. That's the land, it's Judea. It's not Palestine. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted her cousin Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. John the Baptist, he leapt in the womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the first record I see of someone being filled with the Holy Ghost. Have you seen another? Filled with the Holy Ghost right there. Jesus wasn't even born yet. Holy Ghost was in operation. Already. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She knew. She knew what was inside of Mary, the Son of God, was about to be born. The Lord. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which are told her from the Lord. There is going to be a performance of those things that were promised from the Lord. I'm looking forward to it. Yes, I am. It's going to happen. If God says it, it will happen. It will come to pass. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of the low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with Elizabeth about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "No, not so, but he shall be called John." And they said to her, "There is none of your kindred, your relatives, that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with them. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost also, and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins," remitting their sins. Remission. Is that the same word, remit, remission? Well, it says remission of sin, their sins. There is no remission of sins, as we know, without the shedding of blood. "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Okay, excuse me. Luke 2, welcome aboard. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, the Lord, the Mashiach. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he conceived in the womb. Before he was conceived in the womb, rather. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now notice, these were the shepherds that came. Okay? These were not the 3 wise men that would visit him separately. These were shepherds. They came in the beginning, didn't they? Okay, the wise men are going to come later. That's my understanding. So, they went, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. So we've got Elizabeth. She's baptized by the Holy Ghost. After the babe left in the womb. And then we've got Zechariah, who had the Holy Ghost. And who else? It says the Holy Ghost was upon Simeon. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah of Jehovah, sent by Jehovah, Jesus his son. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for them after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Two different groups here, folks, the Gentiles and Israel. We in the church have not replaced natural-born Israel. We're grafted in to receive some promises. We're part of the commonwealth, Jew and Gentile believer in Messiah, but we don't replace them. And no one is to usurp the land covenant that God has decreed unto them. These are separate things here. We got people thinking they can usurp their firstborn, which are the house of Israel, the Jews. No, we're blessed to be able to have the light shine on us of Jesus Christ. Have an opportunity to be grafted in. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of Jesus. And Simeon blessed them, said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna. This is New Testament. A prophetess. Yes, there are prophets and prophetesses. Okay, in the New Testament. Didn't call her a prophet. I know everybody wants to be called a prophet, but a prophet is a male. A prophetess is a female. They're both prophets. But you got male and female. Not unisex. She's a prophetess. That does not diminish her in any way. It just says she's a lady prophet. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple. Her husband had died early in their marriage. And she never remarried, apparently. She was a widow of about 84 years old, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she came in that instant. Well, I'd like to have met them. They would have been cool to meet. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. My grandmother was of that caliber. She was a prophetess, the truth be known. A great woman of God, a great matriarch of our family that I was blessed to know, and even had her on the show twice. Verse 39, And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Galilee was the larger area, and they lived in Nazareth, the city. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. They went up for the Passover feast. And when he was 12 years old, verse 43, And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They lost track of him. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him from among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they had found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why have you dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. They thought they had lost him for good. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and height and in favor with God and man. Luke chapter 3. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias was a tetrarch of Abilene. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest, the word of God came unto John the son of Zechariah in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways he shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, "O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which brings not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire." And the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" John answered and said unto them, "He that has two coats, let him impart to him that has none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise." Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." And the people were in expectation. All men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. John answered, saying unto them all, "I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I comes, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So there's a baptism of water for the remission of sins. And there's being baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Have you received either of these baptisms? To be saved, we're to call the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of our sins, confess that Jesus is Lord with our mouth, and believe that God has raised him from the dead, and be water baptized. That's part of it. We're to be water baptized, all of us. It's not the sprinkling of the Catholic Church. That is not a baptism. That's a demonic ritual where they assign you a demon and they call it your personal saint. You need to be submerged under the water. That's part of being born again. And if you've made a decision for Christ, you need to get the other part completed too. Get water baptized. That's scripture. But then it says Jesus shall baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We should seek that. Verse 17, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner. But the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable." And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. John was in prison for the faith. And he will be executed later. Folks, you and I may be in prison for the faith, but blessed are they when they persecute you for righteousness' sake, for great is your reward in heaven, the word says. John's reward is great in heaven. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased." And Jesus began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, or Heli, which was the son of Matthat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Janna, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Mattathias, which was the son of Amos, which was the son of Nahum, which was the son of Esli, the son of Naji, the son of Maath, which was the son of Mattathias, which was the son of Simea, or Simei, which was the son of Joseph, who was the son of Judah, which are the son of Joanna, which was the son of Risa, which was the son of Zorobabel, who was the son of Salathiel, which was the son of Neri, who was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Adi, which was the son of Kosam, who was the son of Elmodam, who was the son of who was the son of Hose, who was the son of Eleazar, who was the son of Jorim, who was the son of Matthat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonan, the son of Eliakim, which was the son of Meliah, who was the son of Minan, the son of Mattatha, the son of Nathan, which was the son of David, which was the son of Jesse, who was the son of Obed, who was the son of Booz, who was the son of Salmon, or Salmon, who was the son of Naason, who was the son of Aminadab, who was the son of Aram, the son of Ezram, the son of Phares, the son of Judah, who was the son of Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham, who was the son of Therah, who was the son of Nachor, who was the son of Saruk, the son of Ragal, the son of Phalek, the son of Heber, who was the son of Salah, who was the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Sem, the son of Sem, which was Shem, actually, who was the son of Noah, and which was the son of Lamech, which was the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Malil, who was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, which was the son of God. All right. That's a great genealogy there. I wish I had some more genealogy in my own family. It's been difficult. I've gotten back about 4 generations on my dad's side. Welcome aboard, wherever you may be tuning in today. We're going to take just a quick break, and we're going to come back and do some more. We'll be right back. I've got a brand new track. This comes from Pastor Bill French of Luke 4:18 Radio. Let's see if I got it here. Would you like to hear it? Okay, let's load it up here. Let's see if I can play it on my player here. You know what? I might have to play it another way. Hold on a second. Yep, I think it's a different format, so it's okay. I'll just play it this way.
Put on the full armor of God, be bold. Faith like a shield and belt of truth. Day and night, stand strong and hold. Fight the devil, never waver. Stay vigilant in every stride. With every step, feel him guide. In the darkest moments, we abide. Victory in Christ we can find. Obedience, giving strength to fight. Resist the darkness, give heed to the light. With every dawn anew your resolve. Wield your sword of the Spirit with all power and might. In our wake, chains will break with every stride. This path we're on, no mistake. Every move for him we make. Stay vigilant in every moment. With every step, feel him guide. In the darkest abyss we abide. Victory to Christ we confide. Overcoming with his love so pure. Through trials and storms we endure. In his name our hearts secure. In his life our souls mature. Overcoming with his love so pure. Through trials and storms we endure. In his name.
That's a track from Pastor Bill French, Luke 4:18 Radio. Thank you, Brother Bill. That's called Armor of Victory. Welcome to the broadcast. We are live here on Friday, going into the Sabbath in America. We've already started it here in Bali. Yes, I'm broadcasting live from our home base in Bali, Indonesia. We've been here. April will make 9 years. It's just hard to believe that time has come and gone. I was in Vegas last time, and in 2016 the Lord moved me here. I met my bride on a Monday. We got married on a Friday. God gave me an opportunity to start again, and we have three young children of God we're raising, ages 7, 5, and 3. Well, they're getting ready to have a birthday, and that's going to make them 8, 6, and 3. Okay, so praise the Lord. We are live doing Speak My Word Radio. I'm excited to be here with you. Now let's get back into it. We're over in Luke. Let's go to chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he was afterward hungry. And the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said to him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you therefore will worship me, all shall be yours. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from here. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And Jesus taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That would be Saturday. Sabbath starts tonight, Friday, goes through Saturday night. So the Sabbath day would be Saturday, right? Sometime during the day. And he stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And Jesus began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And Jesus said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, or I think her name was Sarabeth, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was Sarepath. Yeah. What I'm noticing is there are some pronunciations of some of the names of people that are slightly different in the New Testament than in the Old. It's not that they're different people. It's just the Old Testament came to us in Hebrew. It's been translated English. We're told that the New Testament came to us in Greek, and it's been translated in English. And so there will be, I assume, a different spelling or pronunciation from that Greek that they're translating into English. Okay? It's just like you can trace the spelling and the pronunciation of Yeshua the Messiah as it comes down from Latin into Greek into English as Jesus the Christ versus just going to the pure Hebrew and it's Yeshua. They're one of the same people, just different spellings and pronunciations. And what's important to note is it looks like we have been taught incorrectly that the Bible was written entirely in Greek, being in the New Testament rather. Well, there's some 6,000 plus manuscripts of the Hebrew, the Old Testament, the majority text. 6,000 some scrolls that agree with each other. And the New Testament, I don't know how many Greek scrolls there are, but I will say this. I just heard the other day from Dr. Al Garza on the YouTube channel that they found so far 3,000 and counting Hebrew manuscripts of the New Testament. And it looks like a great portion of the New Testament was originally written in Hebrew, maybe some Aramaic, and then a little bit Greek. But the large part of it was written in Hebrew. In fact, they found almost entire New Testaments in Hebrew. Now, some will be a translation from the Greek into Hebrew. And those are really of no use to us. But there are others that are not translations at all, but they're copies of a copy of a copy of the original that was written in Hebrew. Later, that was translated into Greek. And that's awesome, because we have Hebrewisms in the, clearly in the English, which come from the Greek, which had an earlier source in Hebrew. And there are people working on projects right now. I found three or four so far. One of them, Nehemiah Gordon, who has found conclusive proof, just as the King James told us all along in Exodus, that the name of God is Yehovah. We spelled in English J-E-H-O-V-A-H, but it's actually spelled with a Y, if you want the Hebrew. Yehovah, we know how to spell it, pronounce it, and there's thousands of Hebrew scrolls that have the name protected, whereas there were others that the scribe hid the name and just called him Elohim or Hashem, you know, the Lord. Now, the important thing here, though, is that we've got actual Hebrew manuscripts that people are going through right now, of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Hebrews, Jude, Revelations. There's 3,000 some odd Hebrew manuscripts of the New Testament that are being sorted through now and that in recent times have been uncovered. They've been there all along, but they were thought to have been lost, but they had been kept and locked up in the universities in the Vatican and universities around the world. And in this last day, there's a proliferation of these that are being discovered. They're being examined, and they're finding many that are original documents that predate Greek. I mean, in other words, they precede the Greek that they were translated into. Yes, Hebrew was spoken in the New Testament. It was not lost. The whole Old Testament was Hebrew. And it looks like the New Testament was originally penned in Hebrew, most of it. And that's exciting to me because I want to get in there and get a hold of these. And I have a couple that I found online that have been made available, and there's others that are coming out with them. And you can look up the work of Dr. Al Garza. And many of these are available online now. Of course, you will need to read Hebrew to benefit from them, but there are those that are translating them. And so what does that mean for us? Well, it just means that we're going to get a deeper understanding of God's Word. Now, you can make it to heaven with the English, with the King James, no problem. But there's another level, which is in the original language, that will clear probably some of the confusion that we have that comes from the translations. Because remember, the King James we're reading from, the Old Testament was penned for the most part in Hebrew. All Hebrew. And the New Testament, Hebrew and Aramaic, translated into Greek, which was then translated into English. And some of these were translated into Latin, which is, you don't want. It's a dead language. And God gave the job of the Jews to be the keepers of the oracles of God, meaning their job was to preserve the Old Testament. And they did. And we've got it just as it was delivered to the men that penned it under the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. We've got it. We've got the Leningrad Codex. We've got the Aleppo Codex, and there's a couple even more precious than that. There's the Jerusalem crown, and there's some other discoveries that I've recently found out about in thousands of manuscripts. So we got God's word. There's no question, did we get God's word? But originally came into us in Hebrew. And then they had to take the Hebrew, and then for the New Testament that we're reading a translation that came out of Greek. The New Testament today, the modern Bible in English that we have today, comes from a Greek. But its origins were in Hebrew, by all reports. So the Greek is good, but then you've got to translate that into English. And these languages, both Hebrew and Greek, you know, they can have a plural or singular words, and you've got to have the correct pronouns so you know the audience you're talking to. And that's why the King James did a proper job of translating from Hebrew and the Greek into English and making sure we had pronouns so we know if we're talking to an individual or a group of people. We've got God's word in the English language. However, I'm excited for these discoveries that are going to be made in the Hebrew, which are going to give us a deeper meaning and sort out some of the theological differences that we have. There's 10,000 different denominations because they disagree on a few major things. Some of them may be salvation doctrines that they disagree on. And to compound problems, you want to leave the King James, which is the best English translation we've got from the original at this juncture, and you want to jump over there into some of the dark waters of Horton Westcott. Look up these guys. These were occultists, and they came in under the influence of Satan and offered a new text they called the critical text, which didn't use the majority scrolls. They used about 45 of these minorities that didn't even agree with each other, and they corrupted the word and put out a compromised Bible text, which is the source of many of the other English translations out there. You want to stay away from those. Stick with the King James. You will make it to heaven with it. And as God enlightens us with the ability to look into the Hebrew, that is one of my bucket list. I want to learn Hebrew. I started to try to do it last year. I fell off the wagon, but I'm going to do it this year. I want to do it. I want to actually read the original. Wouldn't you like to do that? So anyway, just a little bit of food for thought there. This is exciting to me. But yeah, I mean, how do you reconcile some of the differences in spelling and pronunciation in the Old Testament and in the New? It's because of the translations. The Old is Hebrew to English, and the New Testament that we're reading is Greek to English. You see, so we're talking about the same people. Elias is Elijah. Sarepta is Serapeth, or I think that's the pronunciation. Different spelling, same woman. You know, the one that Elijah went to in a city of Sidon, and unto a woman that was a widow, and many lepers. Goes on to say, we're in Israel at the time of Elisus, the prophet. And none of them were clean, saving Naaman the Syrian. Now, I plan to undertake a mission, and I'm going to take the King James, and I'm going to go back in there. I'm going to reconcile some of these names between the old and new, so make them consistent for the old copy that I read. I also want to go in, and I want to take where they have the King James translators have. What is the correct word? Obfuscated? I don't know what you would say. L-O-R-D, and replace it, that placeholder, with God's name, which we know is Yahovah from the original Hebrew. And King James did it a few times, but then they went back to L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D, which is a placeholder. That's not the name of God. His name is Yahovah, the Father, that is. You've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So that's a plan I want to do. I'm going to upgrade it for my own benefit and make it available for others that are interested. Praise the Lord. I believe we can even get a better translation in English than the King James, putting back in there what belonged there in the beginning. But even if you didn't have access to that and this is all you got, this is the best English translation we have today, and it will get you to heaven by believing on it. I'm just talking about some things that are not salvation doctrines, but some corrections that need to be made because we are translating from foreign languages into our English tongue. Okay, anyway, a side note. Verse 28, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. They were angry in what Jesus just said. And they rose up and they thrust Jesus out of the city. And they led him unto the brow of the hill wherein their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They were going to kill him. But Jesus, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. When is the Sabbath? Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown. Okay, we lack a lot of biblical knowledge and understanding of other parts of the world and of the Bible lands. And sometimes we make doctrines out of it that hurt us. In the West, I was raised to believe that Sunday was the Sabbath. Well, it's not the Sabbath at all. That may be the Catholic Sabbath. That may be what Constantine instituted. I'm going to have to go with God, though. We must obey God rather than men. The Sabbath is not Sunday. The Sabbath has never changed. It's sundown Friday night to sundown Saturday night. And the Sabbath day is Saturday. It's a seventh day, is what it is. God's days start in the evening and go to the next evening. So what I'm saying to you and I is Sunday is the first day of the week. Everybody should know that. We just get confused because in the West, we think that everything revolves around America. And that, oh, our work week is Monday through Friday. Saturday's our day off, and Sunday's the day we go to church. It's a Sabbath. No, it's not. That's not true. We're incorrect that believe that and are taught that. And I was taught to feel guilty if I did anything on Sunday because that was supposed to be a sacred day, the Sabbath. But it wasn't. What was unique about it is that was a day that most of us go to church, and that's fine. But there's nothing holier about Sunday than there is about Monday through Friday. It's not the Sabbath. The seventh day is the Sabbath, and God established it as Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown, so the Sabbath day would be Saturday when you got light outside. That's where Jesus was here. And if you go to Israel, and I've been there twice, and I've been there on the Sabbath that starts Friday night, goes through Saturday night. If you're in Jerusalem, you're going to have a hard time getting some food because things shut down. That's where the very religious sect live versus some place like Tel Aviv. And I can tell you some stories about that, but I'll waste some time here. But needless to say, I was there come Sunday. That's the first day of the week. That's a Monday to them. Like we would have a Monday in the West as our work week. Their work week starts on the first day of the week, Sunday. So we need to understand these things. And there are some people that disagree, that no, it's actually whatever day the Pope says. And you know, the Catholic Church, which is a cult, their mark of ecclesiastical authority, they say, by this, we're the leader of the pack, if you will. It's our mark of authority that we have changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. And that was done back in Constantine, a heathen that apparently became a Christian. They call him the first pope. He saw a sign of a cross in the sky, and anyway, he converted to Christianity, and you can look into the rest of his history, but that's not God's reckoning of time or the days of the week. And there are those that will throw the Seventh-day Adventists under the bus because they have church on the Sabbath. Now, they may have some other doctrines wrong, but they got that part right. Just like the Jehovah's Witnesses is a cult, but they got the name of God right. They got one thing right. Jehovah, Yehovah. And people think, well, if you use the name Jehovah, you're a Jehovah's Witness. I mean, this is just idiocy. These are unlearned people that need to go back and study to show themselves approved because they're ignorant. They're idiots. When they go and attack people that are, they're doing something right. They got one thing right. And they condemn others. Oh, you're going to close your gun store? They said to me on Saturday. You're crazy. That's the best day to be open. I said, it's a Sabbath. God says, thou shalt not work on the Sabbath. And I've got an employee, and I'm not allowed to make him work. I got to give him the day off. And people looked at me like I was a village idiot. But I'm doing what God commanded. It's the Ten Commandments. But you see, they were raised to think it was Sunday. No, the day you worship God has nothing to do with the Sabbath, specifically. And you can worship God on the Sabbath in all 7 days. But they're two different events. Do you understand what I'm saying? But this is just the bit and parcel of a bigger problem. We've got biblical illiteracy, including myself, but I'm trying to learn. But just to clarify a few things, this is what was going on. Jesus was there preaching. He was there, he just spoke the word and made the declarations that he did. Said, this day it's fulfilled. They want to kill him. And again, he taught them on, he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at Jesus' doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Now, why did Jesus tell him to hold his peace? Because it was going to hasten his death as word began to spread. He still had some work to do. This was not an abject lesson to us that we were not to speak to demons. No, Jesus spoke to demons in other passages, but he's on a mission, you see, and he doesn't need to be hindered. And he's not looking for publicity from those demons either. They knew who he was. There's already people that are going to plot to, they're plotting to kill him. They want him dead then. They were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And how are we going to get folks past our biblical illiteracy, getting into the word like we're trying to do right here? Get in the word, study it. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's some dividing the word of truth, and they're teaching some crazy doctrines out there. How are we going to keep from being deceived? We need to be in the word ourselves and read it. Stick with the King James, unless you speak Hebrew. Because you're going to read a bunch of versions, you're going to get confused, and you're going to hear something, and you're not going to be able to identify, is that word the word or not? I can identify when I hear something strange. Immediately, the flags go off because I'm putting the word into me, and I know when I hear something that's just not right. And many times, it's because they're reading other translations. And some of those translations are different than what they're saying because they're based on corrupt text. The Horton Westcott The King James is one of the last modern English Bibles that got it right. And comes to us based on the Textus Receptus, the received text. About 6,000 manuscripts. 95% agree. Versus the critical text of Horton Westcott that came from 45 manuscripts that don't agree. That was not inspired by God, but it was inspired by the Jesuits and the Catholic Church to deceive people and to recapture the Bible. You see, the Roman Catholics, they lost control. They had the scripture locked up in the Latin, Vulgate. And they literally would chain their big Latin Bibles to the lectern, lest someone steal it and run off with it. And they would have Latin Mass up until about the 60s. They would read the Bible and then translate it for you. You had to trust them. Just like they want you to go to them as a mediator. Between them and God. Or them and Christ. No, Jesus is the only mediator between us and the Father. You don't need to go to a priest. Priests can't forgive you of your sins. The point I'm making here is the Catholic Church did not want you and I to have a Bible or even the ability to read what we're doing tonight. They wanted to control people. It's about witchcraft control. And when those that came before us in the 1500s and 1600s began to take the Bible, the Latin Bible, and translate it into German and later English, Spanish, and our tongue, English tongue, that was a big problem for the Catholic Church. That was a threat to their system. They would lose control. Now the modern man, common man, could have the word for himself and see if what they were being taught was true or not. The Protestantism, Martin Luther, he and others, pioneers, they began to push back. And then those that actually went about the process of printing Bibles in other languages like English, they were hunted down by the Franciscan monks. They were hunted down by the Catholic Church and the Pope. If they caught you, they would arrest you, seize all your assets, try you and burn you at the stake, torture you. The Inquisition. Bloody Mary. Mary, Queen of England. And the Roman Catholic Church killed probably millions of people. Jew and Gentile. They persecuted them, tortured them, and hunted down people with a vengeance that dared try to take their power away by getting the Bible out into the hands of the common man. Many people paid a high price for our ability today to be able to read from the King James. It's the most hated book on the planet, the King James Bible. It's hated even among those in the church because it's inspired of God. The seventh translation came to us, purified seven times, according to Al Cubbin. I think he was right. The point I'm making is that Roman Catholic Church then had a problem. What are they going to do? They've got to go in there and try to recapture the Bible. And they use people like Horton Westcott, come out with these fake Bibles and present them as the best thing since sliced bread, white bread. Everybody wanted them. New and shiny, and they say it's based on the best manuscripts. BS. It was a minority text. It was the Codex Sinaiticus they found over in a monastery in Egypt. They found one out of the bowels of the Vatican, the Codex Vaticanus, as in Vatican. They don't agree with the Textus Receptus, the Antioch scriptures. The point I'm making here is systematically they begin to the globalists and the Satanists and the Jesuits and the Illuminati and the Catholic Church, they began to introduce these fake Bibles. That now many out there have them in their possession, and that's their go-to. Even the New King James, one of the original editions, had 100,000 changes between it and the King James that we're reading today on this program. And sadly, you may have thought, well, I'm getting a King James because it says New King James. No, they're two different books. They come from different manuscripts. Now, because the third edition that is in print, the publishers went back and reverted over to the Codex Vaticanus that came out of the Catholic Church. There's a documentary called Bridge Back to Babylon, or A Light in the Dark. It talks about all this history of the Bible translations and the wars against those that were trying to get the Bible into the hands of mankind in English and their languages, Spanish, etc. And it's a bridge back to Babylon. Catholic Church comes out of the Babylon mystery. The worship of Sol Invictus. And it's cultish. Worshipping Ishtar, the egg-laying rabbit that came out of the river Euphrates, and all these dead people that they want you to pray to. It's idolatry. It's witchcraft. And there's people in it that love Jesus, but the Catholic Church is very clear. We're Catholic. You're Christian. There's a difference here. If you're not a Catholic, you don't go to heaven. That's what they believe. These people are lunatics. And look at the Pope today. The very top figure. They call him the Vicar of Christ. I call it BS on him. He has just sanctioned and has blessed homosexual marriages, which the Bible calls an abomination. It says if you're in homosexuality, fornication, adultery, you will not inherit the kingdom of God unless you repent before you die. We were talking about that in the last program I did last night. The head of the Catholic Church promotes homosexuality. And look at all the priests out there. Most of them are pedophiles. Every time I see one, you can see them. They're effeminate. And there's a history here because their own church they frown on any priest being married. There's very few that are married. Just like the nuns. There's a homosexual spirit in that church. There's idolatry, witchcraft, worship of other gods. And it's corrupt. It's coming down. And the Catholic Church was able to recapture most of the Bibles and corrupt God's word with these non-inspired versions. This is a big deal. That's why I'm a stickler for the King James. I don't want a non-inspired version. I'm not going to read one. Stick with the King James unless you can learn Hebrew. Okay. Here we are. Verse 36, Luke chapter 4. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power Jesus commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Simon's wife's mother, the mother-in-law, was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases, all types of diseases, cancer, probably leprosy, just name it. They were diverse diseases, brought them unto Jesus. And Jesus laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. He healed them all. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And came unto him, and he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak. Now why? for they knew that he was Christ. That's why. Again, he didn't need the hassle that was going to be caused by these demons revealing who he was at that moment. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him. They said, hey, don't go. Please, that he should not depart from them. And Jesus said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I sent. He had a job still to do before laying his life down and raising it again. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. We're going to stop right there. I'm going to try to do 90 minutes. I did a lot of talking tonight, so we only got through Luke 1 through 4, but praise the Lord. Father Yehovah, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you today as we prepare in a few moments to take communion, those that will join us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word, that your word is forever settled in heaven, that you have preserved your word. The problem is that not that we don't have your word. The problem is we have it, but men do not believe or they will not bother to read it. No one will have an excuse on judgment day that we didn't have your word, therefore you can't condemn me to hell. We had your word, God. We're reading it tonight. But we must choose obedience or rebellion, and we choose to obey. Forgive us of our sins, known and unknown tonight, back to the very first thought, word, deed, gesture, and action. God, show us anything that we are missing. Holy Spirit of God, lead us into all truth. We ask that you would just burn the word on the tables of our heart, that we may not sin against thee, God. Guide and direct all of our steps. Put a hedge of protection, wall of fire from Zechariah 2 and 5 as we're going into the weekend, into the Shabbat. Bless everyone that tuned in to this program today or this week, God. I thank you also for those that have supported the program. Bless them mightily. They have helped us get this far. We pray all this tonight, God. Have your way. Guide and direct our steps. We ask, God, that you would uncover what has been covered in the deep state. Reveal the globalist plans and expose them. God, let this new plandemic come to naught in the name of Jesus. Let it just fizzle out. We bind every spirit of fear and hysteria, propaganda, and the demonic agenda to try to lock us all down. We bind these evil malefactors. We loose the judgment of God on their demons and ask God you loose confusion into their camps. Have the demons turn on one another. In the mighty name of Jesus. We also break any witchcraft or curses that have been sent against me or my family, this program, or any of you tuning in, or your family, in the mighty name of Jesus. Every demonic force sent against you or I to torment us, we bind you and rebuke you, command you spirits to go, don't come back, go to where Jesus sends you. Father God, if there's somebody that does know you tonight, I ask that you would draw them with your Holy Spirit, pour out your goodness, mercy, and grace on them, whatever it takes, save them at all cost. And we bind their demons and command you demons to loose their mind and will that they can make a decision for Jesus. We pray this tonight, Father God, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take communion before we close. And if you're a believer in Christ, if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're following him, you'll repent of your sins before you take communion, be willing to forgive others who have hurt you, you're eligible to take communion. If you're not saved or you're not willing to repent or you're holding on to forgiveness, you're not eligible. So don't take it until you get ready and you mean business with the Lord and you're willing to meet those conditions. Because if you take it, you could die. There's a warning. Many have become sick and died taking communion unworthily because they're meeting the Lord with their sin. We're going to go to meet the Lord now in preparation for meeting him one day in the flesh. And judge yourself now that when you meet the Lord at the communion table, he doesn't judge you and find you with sin. And repent today so that if you die, you go to the immediate presence of the Lord. You don't go to that other place called hell where people that die in their sin go for disobedience and rebellion. Okay, so we're going to give you a moment, get your juice and your cracker or your matzah, and we're going to take communion. I'm going to go get mine right after this this song I'm going to play. I wrote called Golgotha. Hope you like it. Here we go. Welcome back, everybody. Okay, we've arrived at the end of the program where we take communion. And if you're ready, let's go. I'll read Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." We pray right now, Father Yehovah, in Jesus Christ's name. Lord Jesus, bless the bread, which represents your body, given for us on the cross, as we eat it now. In Jesus' name, go ahead and eat. "Take, eat, this is my body," he said. And Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." We pray right now, Lord Jesus, that you would bless the cup we're about to drink, which represents your blood of the New Testament, which is shed for us for the remission of our sins. Bless it now in Jesus' name. Go ahead and drink it. By your stripes, Lord Jesus, we're healed. We pray right now that all have partaken of your holy communion. You can loose healing into our bodies and deliverance of demons. And we say in the name of Jesus out there, be healed to those that have taken it. Be made whole and be set free of the demons that need to come out today. Go to where you need to go, demon, where Jesus sends you. Don't come back. Be healed in Jesus' name, folks. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, it's the most important thing you can do. First step, confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. You open the door, just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Confess your sins to the Lord. Forgive me, Lord. He will. Be my Lord and Savior. I will follow you to the end. And that's how it's done. You're going to want to get water baptized. You're going to want to find a local church. Ask God to show you where to go. You get a King James Bible in English. Start reading it. Again, not the new King James. Just get a King James. You don't need the 1611. Just a modern King James. You can get the Cambridge, Oxford, Thompson, Nelson. It's called the King James Bible, the Authorized King James. Start reading it. Or join me here at 7 a.m. Eastern. And not only that, but for communion. Every program we do, with Speak My Word, we're going to do communion. Get a double benefit. The Word that will renew your mind and build your faith, and healing for your body. There's great blessings that come from taking communion the right way. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Shabbat Shalom. We'll return with Omega Man Radio on Monday and continue our marathon. If you want to get the schedule for next week, make sure you're on my mailing list. If you're not there, get on it. It's omegaman.substack.com. It's free. And if you get tired of it, you can unsubscribe. Some people do. I guess they think I send out too many email blasts. I get a couple that drop off, or they don't like some of the articles that I put in there. That's okay. We work with those that want to work with us. And also, you can find all the shows that are going to be uploaded on SoundCloud. Just before I started tonight's program, I went ahead and cut everything that we did through yesterday. So it's all ready to go. I'm uploading them now. I'm going to update our Speak My Word log so we know where you'll know where we left off. On these programs, of course, each Speak My Word program has the scriptures and the notes on the show that we'll read through for those that are following this program. And you can find out more information about what we do, where we're at, what times, etc., by going to OmegaManRadio.com. I have just recently updated it again, so I'm trying to enhance that site with more links where you can find the shows, get free copies of them. SoundCloud is the mother hub where we put everything. And if you want to support this ministry, I just want to say thank you in advance. We have ways that you can fuel this program. There's PayPal. We've got a P.O. Box. We've got Venmo. Cash App works great too. We've got GoFundMe, Zelle. So I just want to say thank you to those that have helped us. We just hit a new milestone, 11,500 shows. We're going for 12,000 now, new world record. I think we had the world record for years, but we're going to set a new one for ourselves. By the grace of God, we're going to hit 12,000 shows by the summer, maybe sooner. My goal is to get there before we hit year 15 of Omega Man Radio, which is June 22nd. I think we can do it for sure. Less than 500 now to go. So all these shows are available for free as they're being uploaded. Help yourself to them. We're getting more and more of these online again. So that's the plan. So God bless you. MegamanRadio.com. Signing out. Love you all. God bless everybody that tuned in this week. In Jesus' name. And I say amen.
Are you ready? Ready to take a ride? And strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Ray Davis. No demon is safe. It's time to keep the faith. Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's put all demons to the sword.